بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. and that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the Prophet, his noble and pure family, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. Tonight, inshallah, we'll start the explanation of a classical book on Tawheed, which is called the Book of Tawheed. The explanation of this book is under the title Al-Qawlu Al-Mufid Sharh Kitab Al-Tawheed, the beneficial saying explaining the Book of Tawheed by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, may Allah's mercy be upon him. So I will base the explanation on our Shaykh's explanation inshallah ta'ala, and we, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I start. First, what is the definition of Tawheed? What is the definition of Tawheed? Linguistically, from the language aspect, the term is derived from making something into one. You say وحد الشيء, meaning uniting something into one. So it is an infinitive from the term وحد يوحد, making or uniting into one. This is the linguistic meaning. The legal meaning, the Islamic meaning, is singling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one free of all imperfection, the Most High, singling Him out in His Lordship, meaning that He is the only true Lord, and in Divinity, meaning that He alone is the true God worthy of worship, and also in His magnificent names and attributes, those exclusively being His and uniquely being His, qualified with the best names and attributes. This is the meaning of Tawheed. This is the meaning of Tawheed. Now, the branches of Tawheed. The branches of Tawheed. Tawheed is divided into three branches. First, the Tawheed of Rububiyyah, that of Lordship, and that of Uluhiyyah, which means Divinity, and that of names and attributes of Allah. All of them are combined in one verse in the Quran, and this is in Surah Maryam, the chapter of Mary, chapter 19, verse 64. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, or 65, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فَاعْبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. If you examine now this verse, you will find the three branches of Tawheed in it. First, Lord of the heavens and the earth. This is exclusive Lordship to Allah, and all that is between them. So this is the Tawheed of Lordship. Exclusive Lordship belongs to Allah. Then Allah says that, which means, so worship Him alone. Worship Him alone. And be constant and patient in His worship. So worship is to be offered only to Allah. He is the one, is to be singled out in worship. Him alone. So this is the branch of Divinity. This is the branch of Divinity. Now, the third branch comes from, do you know of any who is similar to Him? There is no co-equal to him in him in his essence, nor in his names and attributes. So this is the branch regarding the names and attributes. Of course, none is similar or co-equal or comparable to him, and he has none as partner with him. There is nothing like unto him, and he is the all-hearer, all-seer. So these are the three branches of Tawheed combined together in one single verse. This is from chapter 19, chapter Mary, verse 65. First, let's talk about then the branch of Lordship, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. It means singling Allah the Most High with creation and kingdom and running of the affairs. This is the meaning of Lordship, that Allah is the creator, to him belongs the kingdom, and he is the one who runs the affairs of everything. So when we say we single him alone in creating, is to believe that there is no creator except Allah. قال الله تعالى, Allah says in chapter 7 verse 54, chapter 7 verse 54, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ, to him belongs the creation and the commandment. His is the creation and commandment. So this statement, surely his is the creation and commandment, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ, this statement implies restriction, meaning that is solely for him alone. In another verse we read in Surah Fatir, chapter 35 verse 3, هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, chapter 35 verse 3, هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, is there any creator other than Allah who provides for you from the sky, rain and the earth? So this ayah, this verse indicates that creation is his solely, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other statements which affirms a quote unquote creator other than Allah, like for example the saying of Allah, تبارك الله أحسن الخالقين, blessed Allah who is the best of creators, which may indicate the presence of quote other creators, and like the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم concerning those who make pictures, the picture makers, أحيوا ما خلقتم, on the day of resurrection they will be told, bring life to that which you quote created. This is in essence not a true creating capability, and it is not something whereby it's bringing into existence something from non-existence. Rather, it is changing something from one condition into another. Furthermore, it is not comprehensive. It is limited to man's ability, limited in a tight circle. So this does not in any way nullify or oppose the definition earlier of lordship, whereby it was defined singling Allah alone in creation. So all of these creative things by man are limited and not comprehensive, and they change something from a state into another. The second aspect of lordship is singling Allah in the kingdom. So we believe that no one owns the creation except their creator. As it is the saying of Allah, the Most High, in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 189. Chapter 3, verse 189. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And to Allah belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, the dominion of the heavens and the earth. Also in chapter 23, verse 88, Allah the Most High says, قُلْ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. قُلْ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Say, in whose hand is the sovereignty of everything, the treasures of each and everything? Now, as to the statements which affirm possession to other than Allah, like for example the saying of Allah in chapter 23, Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse 6, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. Except from their wives or the captives and the slaves that their right hand possesses, for them they are free from blame. So there is a possession here. Or, as in the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, verse 61, أَوْ مَا مَلَكْتُمْ مَفَاتِحَهُ 24:61. أَوْ مَا مَلَكْتُمْ مَفَاتِحَهُ. There is no restriction. Okay. Let's go to the beginning then. Or the houses. There is no restriction, it says, on the blind, nor any restriction on the lame, nor any restriction on the sick, nor on yourselves if you eat from your houses, or the houses of your fathers, or the houses of your mothers, or the houses of your brothers, or the houses of your sisters, or the houses of your father's brothers, or the houses of your father's sisters, or the houses of your mother's brothers, or the houses of your mother's sister, or from that whereof you hold keys, or from the house of a friend. So there is a possession here of certain things, but this possession is limited. It is not comprehensive. It only covers few from created things. So man possesses that which is under his control, and he cannot possess that which is in the hands of others. So it is a deficient possession in the essence of its attribute. So man does not really possess completely that which is under his own possession, in the sense that he cannot really act regarding that which he possesses except as permitted legally by Allah. For example, if he wants to burn his wealth or torture his animal, and it's not permissible, although these are under his possession. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses everything comprehensively and fully. This is regarding the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we single Allah alone as the one whose in His hand is the full and complete dominion. And then the third part of, the third aspect of lordship is singling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Him being the one who runs all affairs. So man believes only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala runs all the affairs. As for example in Surah Yunus chapter 10 verse 31, and then we after we read it we take 32. 10, 31 and 32. قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَمْ مَنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad, who provides for you from the sky and from the earth? Or who owns hearing and sight? And who brings out the living from the dead? And brings out the dead from the living? And who disposes the affairs, here's the point of evidence, and who disposes the affairs, they will say Allah. Say, will you not then be afraid of Allah's punishment for setting up rivals in worship with Allah? فَذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ فَذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمُ الْحَقِّ فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ فَأَنَّا تُصْرَفُونَ. Verse 32. Such is Allah your Lord in truth. So after the truth, what else can there be save error? How then are you turned away? As to the running of affairs by man, then this is restricted to that under his own control and as permitted legally by Allah. Now, this branch of Tawheed, which we are talking about now, which is the Tawheed of Lordship, singling Allah in worship, in Lordship rather, with the aspects of creation, dominion, and commandment, and running of affairs belonging solely to Allah, this branch of Tawheed, was not objected to by the mushriks, by the pagans, to whom the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent. They attested to this part. They had no problem with it. In fact, Allah tells us about this as in Surah Al-Zukhruf, chapter 43, verse 9. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ خَلَقَهُنَّ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ. And indeed, if you ask them, who has created the heavens and the earth? They will surely say, the Almighty, the All-Knower created them. See, they had no problem with that. They confessed to it. So they confessed that Allah is the one who runs the affairs and in whose hand is the dominion of the heavens and the earth. No one from the children of Adam denied this. No one of them said, from the creatures, said that the universe has two creators, equal creators. No one said that. No one denied this aspect of lordship except that which came from Fir'aun, the Pharaoh. He denied it out of negation, due to arrogance only. So he negated the lordship of Allah and his existence. When he said, as Allah told about him, as in chapter 79, verse 24, when the Pharaoh said, فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى. When he said, I am your Lord most high. So he ascribed the Lordship to him, thus negating the Lordship and existence of Allah. Out of arrogance. And he also said, Allah told us about him in Surah Al-Qasas, in chapter 28, verse 38, ما علمت لكم من إله غيري. ما علمت لكم من إله غيري. Pharaoh, the Pharaoh said, O chiefs, I know not that you have an ilah, a god, other than me. To the end of the verse. And this is haughtiness, arrogance. Because he knew that the Lord is other than him, the true God. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Naml, chapter 27, verse 14, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًّا ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًّا. And they belied them, meaning the verses, the signs, the proofs, the revelation, etc., wrongfully and arrogantly. You see the point? Wrongfully and arrogantly, though their own selves were convinced thereof. And Allah, in fact, told us concerning Musa, Moses, when he was debating Pharaoh, he said, قَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا أَنْزَلَ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Chapter 16, verse 102. In Surah Al-Isra, or rather 17, it should be. 17:102. So within himself he knew. So Musa said, verily you know that these signs have been sent down by none but the Lord of the heavens and the earth as a clear evidence. And I think you are indeed, O Pharaoh, doomed to destruction. So within himself he recognized them. Also, so this is a denial due to arrogance. And there was another type of associating lords, that which came from the Magians, Al-Majus, when they said that universe has two creators, quote unquote. One is darkness and the other is light. Yet, however, they didn't make these so-called creators equal. They say that light is better than darkness because it creates good and darkness creates evil. And the one who creates good is better than the one who creates evil. And they said that darkness is non-existence. It does not produce light. And that light is something existing and produces light. And therefore, in essence, it's more perfect than darkness. And they give even a third difference between them when they say that the light is ancient and they differed whether darkness is it ancient or novel, meaning new. And they have two sayings regarding this, but this is just to mention that these two, Pharaoh denied the Lordship out of arrogance, yet recognizing the truth within himself and the nations made an association in lordship, but not on equal terms. Now, the evidence, the intellectual proof that the creator of the universe is one. Allah says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse 91, مَتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدٍ وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِذًا لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَهٍ بِمَا خَلَقَ وَلَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. No son or offspring or children did Allah beget, nor is there any ilah god along with him. Look at this now statement. If there had been many gods, behold, each god would have taken away what he had created, and some would have tried to overcome others. Glorified be Allah above all that they attribute to him. So if we affirm two creators, two gods for this universe, then each would like to take away what he had created and be independent, just like it is the habit of the kings. No one of them likes to be sharing his kingdom with others. And if he independently takes it away, then he wants some more. That authority should be singly for him. No one shares that with him. So, if he would like to have this authority for himself, then either each one of them would be incapable to take it from the other, or one of them will overtake the other. And in the first case, if one of them is incapable of taking it from the other, then one will have the lordship affirmed for him and the other not. And if both were incapable, then lordship will be eliminated from both, because the incapable does not fit to be a lord. This is from the intellectual side. And you see how Allah, the Most High, addresses our intellect in this statement of His, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I would like you to please make note of that verse. It's a very, very powerful and perfect argument. This verse that you saw, which is chapter 23, verse 91. No son or offspring or children did Allah beget, nor is there any ilah god along with him. If there had been many gods, behold, each god would have taken away what he had created, and some would have tried to overcome others. Glorified be Allah above what all that which they attribute to him. This covers the first branch of Tawheed, which is the branch of lordship. We move to the branch of divinity. This is also known as the branch of ibadah, of worship. When it is added to Allah, then it is called Tawheedul Uluhiyya, singling Allah in Godship. And if it is added to the creation, then it would mean Tahqiqul Ibadati Lillah, manifesting worship only to Allah, singling Him alone in worship. So the one who deserves the worship alone is Allah the Most High. قال الله تعالى, in this respect Allah says in Surah Luqman, verse 30. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. For everyone who came and said salam. قال الله تعالى ذلك, Surah Luqman, verse 30. ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأن ما يدعون من دونه الباطل. That is because Allah is the truth, and that which they invoke besides Him is باطل, falsehood. All false deities are falsehood. And worship covers two things. The first meaning means التذلل لله, humility to Allah, the most magnificent, the most mighty, by executing His commands and abstaining from His prohibitions out of love and magnification. Out of love and magnification. So this is the first aspect. The second refers to that by which we conduct the worship. That by which we conduct the worship. In this sense it means, alaykum as-salam. In this sense worship would mean ismun jami', a comprehensive term for everything which Allah loves and is pleased with, from the sayings, actions, apparent or hidden. For example, as-salah, salah, prayer. Its execution, doing the salah, is ibadah, is worship. In this sense, it is the humility to Allah by executing everything that relates to salah and keeping away from everything which is prohibited in it. And in essence, salah itself is the means by which we conduct the worship. So, the branch of Tawheed which is called divinity or Godship is singling Allah by being a slave worshipper to Him alone out of humility, love and magnification. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra chapter 17 verse 22, لا تجعل مع الله إلها آخر فتقعد مذموما مخذولا. Set not up with Allah any other God or man, or you will sit down reproved, forsaken. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الحمد لله رب العالمين, as in Surah Al-Fatiha. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of Al-Alameen, of all that exists. So here, Allah describing Himself that He is the Lord of all that exists. This is like a cause for affirming divinity for Him alone. For He is the true God, because He is the Lord of all that exists, and thus He deserves to be worshipped alone. قال الله تعالى in this respect in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 21, يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم. So one, O mankind, worship your Lord Allah, look at this, who created you and those who were before you, so that you may become from the muttaqeen, the pious. فَالْمُنْفَرِدُ بِالْخَلْقِ, the one who is singled out in creation, هو المستحق للعبادة, is the one who deserves to be worshipped alone. And therefore it is foolishness that you make the created, the novel one, who ultimately will be annihilated, you make of him a god and you worship him. In reality, he is of no avail to you, no benefit, neither by bringing something to existence or preparing for you what you need or supporting you. So it is foolishness that you come to the grave of a man who became crumbled bones. You call him, invoke him and worship him, yet he is in dear need for your dua, for your invocation. And you are not in need to invoke him He cannot avail himself, can't bring a benefit for himself, nor cause harm. So, how could it be then that he may possess these things for others? It can't be. Even if this person is the most honored human in the sight of Allah, and that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can go to his grave, meaning, and you invoke him. قال الله تعالى ومن يرغب عن ملة إبراهيم إلا من سفه نفسه. Contemplate this. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 130. Chapter 2, verse 130. ومن يرغب عن ملة إبراهيم إلا من سفه نفسه. Chapter 2, verse 130. And who turns away from the religion way of Ibrahim, Abraham, which is Tawheed, except him who befools himself? This branch of Tawheed, the Tawheed of Al-Uluhiyya, divinity, was denied and rejected by most creation. Was denied and rejected by most creation. And that's why Allah sent the messengers and brought down the books. قال الله تعالى in chapter 21 verse 25 وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. Chapter 21, verse 25. No messenger was sent before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except that we reveal to him, we inspire to him, أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ, that none has the right to be worshipped but I, Allah, so worship me alone. Nevertheless, the followers of the messengers were few. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فرأيت النبي ومعه الرهط والنبي ومعه الرجل والرجلان والنبي وليس معه أحد. I saw the Prophet and with him a group, meaning of followers, and I saw another, meaning a Prophet, and with him a man or two only as followers, and I saw a Prophet وليس معه أحد, and none with him as follower. Point of caution. It is amazing that most of authors, Muslim authors, from the latter generations, who classified books concerning the Tawheed, they focus only on the Tawheed of Lordship, as if they are addressing people who deny the existence of Allah. Although there may be some who do that. However, so many are the Muslims who are committing shirk al-ibadah, associating partners in worship with Allah. And thus, there should be focus on this branch of Tawheed, so that we may deliver those Muslims who say that they are Muslims, yet they are mushriks, while they know not. Now the third branch of Tawheed, this is the Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat, singling Allah the Most High in affirming all the magnificent names and attributes. To him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it means singling him out in all the names and attributes which he affirmed for himself or affirmed on the tongue of his messengers. And this comprises two matters. The first is affirmation, meaning that we affirm to Allah the Most Mighty and Most Magnificent all the names and attributes. Affirmation. Second, negating resemblance, meaning we negate the resemblance in that we don't set any likeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his names and his attributes, as Allah the Most High states in Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 4, verse 11, chapter 42 rather, verse 11, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Nothing is like unto him, and he is the all-hearer, all-seer. This verse proves that nothing resembles Allah in all of his attributes. Nothing of the creatures resemble Allah, none of them, in any of his attributes. Although there could be, quote unquote, sharing in the original meaning. However, they are distinct and different in reality. So anyone who does not affirm for Allah what Allah affirms for himself, then he is a mu'attil, a negator. And his negation resembles the negation of Fir'aun. And anyone who affirms the attributes to Allah but likens Allah to anything, then he would resemble the mushriks who worshipped with Allah others. And anyone who affirms those for Allah without likening Allah or resembling him, setting parallels to him in any of his names and attributes, then he is a muwahhid, truly the one who singled Allah in affirming these attributes as they should be affirmed to Allah. This branch of Tawheed is the one in which, or regarding which, part of this Islamic nation went astray, and they were divided into many sects. Some of them followed the path of negation and thus negated the attributes, claiming أَنَّهُ مُنَزِّهٌ لِلَّهِ, claiming that he is glorifying Allah through such negation. And indeed he went astray, or they went astray, because the one who really glorifies Allah above every imperfection is the one who negates all forms of defect and imperfection from Allah and his attributes. And he is the one who glorifies the speech of Allah above being an obscurity or misguidance. So, if anyone says, بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ لَهُ سَمْعٌ وَلَا بَصَرٌ, that Allah is not qualified with hearing, nor seeing, or sight, or knowledge, or ability. In this case, he لم ينزه إلا عز وجل. In this case, he didn't really glorify Allah. Rather, he attributed to Allah the worst of defects and described the speech and wording of Allah as if it is misleading and obscure. Because Allah repeats in many places in His speech and affirms Sami'un Basir, all hearer, all seer, Azizun Hakim, almighty, all wise, Ghafurun Rahim, of forgiving, most merciful. So if Allah affirms that in His words, and He is perfect in all of that, so anyone who denies this, then this is utmost obscurity and misleading. And this is an insult to the speech of Allah. Alaykum as-salam. And from them as well, from these sects, were those who followed the path of setting parables, or setting parables, yes. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, claiming that He is really manifesting or affirming to Allah what Allah described Himself with. However, they went astray because they didn't really properly estimate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proper estimation He deserves, when they described Him with defect and imperfection. So what's dutiful upon us is to believe in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Himself or named Himself in His book and on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without alteration or negation or setting the manner of how or setting parallels to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or likeness to any of His creation or anything. This is what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned, and others also from the people of knowledge. So, التحريف في النصوص, changing the text, this is what Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah, or let me repeat, maybe you have missed something. So al-wajib is the duty upon the believer is to believe in all of that which Allah described Himself with or named Himself with in His book or on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without changing or alteration or denial or negation, and without setting the manner, saying how the attribute is, and without setting parallels or likening Allah to creation. هكذا قال شيخ الإسلام. This is what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and others from the people of knowledge had asserted. So التحريف في النصوص, changing the texts, والتعطيل في المعتقد, a negation regarding the belief, والتكييف في الصفة, and setting a manner regarding the attribute, and giving parallels to Allah and His attributes, resembling Allah in one way or another, resemblance to creation. All of these are not, we should free our creed from all of that, from all of these matters. And when we say the term تحريف النصوص, altering the texts, we mean this refers in fact to what misleadingly is mentioned by some as تأويل النصوص, as interpreting the texts. Because those who changed the texts, they used this mild term okay. When we mention the tahrif, the alteration or the changing of the text, this is the reality. Otherwise, those people who do these changes, they call it ta'wil. Mildly, they put it by using this term ta'wil, which quote unquote could mean interpretation. But it is not really the case. They call themselves people of ta'wil. They use the term, the Arabic ta'wil, because it is milder to the listener. In reality, it is like beautifying to the listener, so that people don't turn away from what they do to the text, from the changes and real alterations. So their ta'wil, in fact, is tahrif, is changing, is alteration. Why it is so? Because they change the wording from its apparent meaning. And we say that this manner of changing the wording of the text from its obviously understood meaning, without any dalil, without any evidence, this is not ta'wil, this is tahrif, this is alteration. On the other hand, directing the wording of the text with a dalil, with an evidence, then that is really called tafsir. That is called real interpretation. As long as there is a proof and evidence for this. And if there is no proof or evidence, then it is called alteration and changing. So they turned the words and changed the words from their correct meanings. Those are the ones who went astray through such a way or through such a means. So they affirmed the attributes, however, with tahrif, with changing their obviously understood meanings. And therefore they stood in opposition to the path of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And thus they cannot be described to be from the people of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Because Ahlul Sunnah muntasibuna lis Sunnah. Because the people of Sunnah belong to the Sunnah, follow the Sunnah, ascribe to the Sunnah, because they hold to it. And those, they don't hold to the Sunnah in that which they resorted to from tahrif, from alteration. Similarly, al-jama'ah, the community. In essence, it means al-ijtima', gathering. And they are not in agreement in their opinions. Their books are filled with interference and contradiction and confusion to the degree that some of them labeled others as misguided and vice versa, and others from them also did to others. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah related that some of the famous names of those who followed this scholastic theologian approach to the texts, like Al-Ghazali, like Al-Razi, and others, they at the end turned away from such deviant path. And then he gave us the quote of the mentioned by Al-Razi, who said, لَقَدْ تَأَمَّلْتُ الطُّرُقَ الْكَلَامِيَّةِ, I have examined the scholastic theologian ways, وَالْمَنَاهِجَ الْفَلْسَفِيَّةِ, and the philosophical ways and methods, فَمَا رَأَيْتُهَا تَشْفِي عَلِيلًا, I didn't find that it can cure or heal the sick or the ill, nor that it quenches the thirst of someone or the thirsty. And I found, وَوَجَدْتُ أَقْرَبَ الطُّرُقِ طَرِيقَةَ الْقُرْآنِ, and I found that the closest way is the way of the Qur'an. أَقْرَأُ فِي الْإِثْبَاتِ, I read concerning the affirmation, الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى, Surah Taha, verse 20, I'm sorry, chapter 20, verse 5, الرَّحْمَن, the one who possesses the vast mercy, the most beneficent, rose over the mighty throne. So he affirms the ascension of Allah on the throne now. Then I read, إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب, Surah Fatir, chapter 35, verse 10. To him ascends الكلم الطيب, the good word. So this affirms the transcendence of Allah. يعني فأثبت, he says, then I do affirm. So he affirms now the istiwa correctly, and he affirms the ulu of Allah, the transcendence of Allah in essence and in his attributes as well above creation. Then he said, وَأَقْرَأُ فِي النَّفْيِ, and I read regarding the negation, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, 42:11, the first part, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, nothing like unto him, ولا يحيطون به علما, and I also negate what Allah negates for himself in his statement in chapter 20 verse 110, and they encompass nothing of his knowledge. Or rather, ولا يحيطون به علما, and they will never compass anything, yes, of his knowledge. يعني فأنفي الممثلة, and thus I negate any resemblance of Allah to anything, and negate الإحاطة به علما, and I negate the encompassing anything of his knowledge. Then he said this beautiful word. He said, ومن جرب مثل تجربتي عرف مثل معرفتي. Anyone who experienced the like of my experience would have come to know what I had come to know. Meaning from the correct approach, affirming what Allah affirms for himself and negating what Allah negates for himself. So you find them in confusion, not certain regarding their affair. However, you will find those whom Allah guided to the straight path, مُطْمَئِنًا مُنْشَرِحَ الصَّدْرِ, at peace, with open chest, هادي البال, in comfort, at ease, يَقْرَأُ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَفِي سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, he reads in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of the messenger of Allah, مَا أَثْبَتَهُ اللَّهُ لِنَفْسِهِ مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ فَيُثْبِتُ, he reads what Allah affirmed for himself from the names and attributes and what his messenger did, فَيُثْبِتْ, and thus he affirms, إِذْ since لَا أَحَدَ أَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ بِاللَّهِ, then since there is no one who knows of Allah better than Allah himself, وَلَا أَصْدَقُ خَبَرًا مِنْ خَبَرِ اللَّهِ, and none speaks the truth or tells the truth, informs better than what Allah informs, وَلَا أَصَحُ بَيَانًا مِنْ بَيَانِ اللَّهِ, and none is more clear than the what Allah makes clear, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ, Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 26, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ, and Allah wants, لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ, to make things clear to you, clarify to you, which is make clear everything for you. وَيُبَيِّنَ, قَالَ اللَّهُ also, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah An-Nisa, same chapter 4, 176, يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ أَن تَضِلُّ, Allah makes clear for you, lest you go astray. يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, thus does Allah make it clear to you, lest you go astray. Then Allah tells us of His Qur'an in Surah An-Nahl 16:89, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, and we have sent down the book to you, O Muhammad, the Qur'an, تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, an explanation for everything, clarifying everything. So, these verses and others indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes clear for His creatures with full clarity the way that leads to Him. You see this verse here, and we have sent down to you the book, O Muhammad, as an exposition of everything, and a guidance and mercy and glad tidings for those who have submitted themselves. And you know what? What is the most thing that the creation needs to be clarified and exposed? وَأَعْظَمُ مَا يَحْتَاجُ الْخَلْقُ إِلَىٰ بَيَانِهِ مَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِأَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ, the utmost that people, and the most important thing, the greatest that the people needs to be clarified, is that which pertains to the names and attributes of Allah. Why? حَتَّى يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى بَصِيرًا, so that they worship Allah عَلَى بَصِيرًا, with knowledge. Because worshipping the one whom we don't know of his attributes, or the one who is not qualified with an attribute, أَمْرٌ لَا يَتَحَقَّقُ أَبَدًا, it can't take place, never. فَلَا بُدَّ أَن تَعْلَمْ مِنْ صِفَاتِ الْمَعْبُودِ, you must know from the attributes of the one you worship, مَا تَجْعَلُكَ تَلْتَجِئُ إِلَيْهِ, which will lead you to turn to him and worship him truly, وَتَعْبُدُهُ حَقًا. And no one should resort, exceed the limit or transgress the limit to go to the matter of the how, which is called takyif, kayf, how are the attributes of Allah, etc. Since if the person is unable to comprehend himself, which exists between his two sides, then by all means it's more proper that he is unable of comprehending the realities, the how, of those attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why man is called to prevent himself and prevent himself from asking why and how when it comes to the names and attributes of Allah. If a person follows such a methodology, he will be at ease. And this was the path of the righteous predecessors. And that's why when a man came to Imam Malik bin Anas, may Allah's mercy be upon him, and he told him and he asked him, Ya Aba Abdullah, he called him by his nickname, O Aba Abdullah, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, the most beneficent ascended the throne. How did he istawa? How did he ascend? He asked him. Imam Malik knocked his head down and said, Al-istiwa'u ghayru majhul. The ascension of Allah on his throne is not something unknown, meaning the meaning is understood, is known. وَالْكَيْفُ غَيْرُ مَعْقُولٌ. And we cannot comprehend the how, however. وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهِ وَاجِبٌ. However, believing in it, it's a must. وَالْسُؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعًا. And asking concerning the how of his ascension is an innovation. وَمَا أَرَاكَ إِلَّا مُبْتَدِعًا. And I don't see you except that you are an innovator. And he ordered him out. However, in our times, we find those who say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْزِلُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah descends to the lower heaven in the latter part of the night, in the latter third of the night, when there remains the latter third of the night, every night. So this necessitates, according to this argument, that darkness covers the lower heavens, because the darkness moves over the earth, and thus the latter third will move from this place to the other. You know, it differs, the difference of timing. And therefore, through such an argument, they intend to deny the descent of Allah in the best manner that fits him to the lower heaven during this latter third of the night. وَهَذَا لَمْ يَقُلْهُ الصَّحَابَةَ. Such an argument was not mentioned by, or was said by, the companions, may Allah be pleased with them. And had this matter been as such that it would be thought by the believer, Allah would have made that clear, and his messenger, either from, you know, initiation, from the beginning, or Allah would bring someone, make someone ask about it, and then he will be answered, as the companions used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like in the case, for example, when they asked him, أَيْنَ كَانَ اللَّهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Where was Allah before he created the heavens and the earth? And Allah and the Prophet answered them. He answered them by saying, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ غَيْرُ. Allah was there, and nothing other than him was. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And his throne was on water, as related in Imam al-Bukhari. And this magnificent question indicates that everything that people needed, then Allah makes it clear. Now regarding this argument which you have heard concerning the descent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the latter third of the night, then the response is, as long as this latter third of the night is in one direction, remaining in one direction, then the descent of Allah in that is real. And in the other directions, we don't comprehend it. And there is nothing like unto Allah. However, what is apparent from the hadith which mentions the descent of Allah, أَنَّ وَقْتَ النُّزُولِ يَنْتَهِي بِطُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ, that the timing of his descent ends when dawn appears. And thus, we have to submit. And we say, سَمِعْنَا, we listen, and we obey, and we follow. وَآمَنَّا, فَهَذِهِ وَظِيفَتُنَا, this is our duty. لا نتجاوز القرآن والحديث, we don't exceed the limits and go beyond the Quran and the Hadith. This brings the end of this introduction concerning the matter of Tawheed and the definition of Tawheed and the branches of Tawheed and the explanation of each branch. This is an introduction to the book of Tawheed, and inshallah tomorrow we'll start into the content of the book from the very beginning. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.